Most Christians, most of us, we struggle with prayer. And maybe prayer probably is the hardest discipline in the Christian life. And Jesus knew this. And therefore here in the passage that we read in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he tells a parable. And he says at the beginning of the parable, he says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Can you see that expression? Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Jesus knew that his disciples would lose heart in prayer. And maybe that is our plight. Maybe we've lost heart in prayer. Sometimes when we pray, we lose heart because we feel our prayers are not really getting anywhere. We pray and they seem to just bounce to the top of the ceiling and come back down. That's how it feels at times. And therefore, because of that, we lose heart in prayer. Other times when we pray, suddenly we can think of 101 things that we need to do. And so we are distracted and pulled away from prayer, or we lose heart in prayer because when we begin to pray, there are so many distractions today with things like mobile phones. Suddenly you get a text message or somebody phones and we get distracted, and so we never really get down to proper prayer. Don't you find when it comes to praying, when it comes to the prayer meeting on a Wednesday, don't you find your flesh, your sinful nature, your sinful tendencies, wanting to make 100 excuses why we shouldn't go to be with God's people and pray? As Christians, we say prayer is important, but we say it's important, but we struggle sometimes, don't we, to pray. And so even churches can sometimes lose heart in prayer. And we end up being a church that is not a church that practices prayer in a meaningful way. Have we lost heart in prayer? Because we prayed for something and it didn't happen. Things didn't go the way we planned, and so we think, well, what's the point in praying? Satan loves to attack prayer, doesn't he? He disheartens us. Jesus said men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And when he uses that word always, it doesn't mean to say you pray 24/7. I mean, you'd be just praying all the time. That's not how we function. What he's talking about here is that we are to consistently pray through different situations, through thick and thin, when it's rough, when it's tough, and also when there's times of ease. Because when there's ease, sometimes we become relaxed in our praying. And so Jesus here, in verses 2 to 8, to encourage Christians not to lose heart in prayer, he tells a parable. And if you look at the context here, you'll see in this section that Jesus really is speaking about the second coming. So he says in chapter 17 and verse 26, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be also in the days of the Son of Man." He's saying in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking without a care, just carrying on with their normal lives. Suddenly a flood came, and God's judgment came upon the world. And he's saying, so it will be in the time of Jesus. When he comes again, people will be going about their business without reference to God. And suddenly God's judgment will come. Suddenly Christ will come like a thief in the night, and it'll take everybody by surprise. In chapter 17 and verse 32, he speaks about Lot's wife. He says, remember Lot's wife. She loved the world, and she became a pillar of salt. So Jesus is saying, Don't love the world. Be ready for when I come again. So Jesus is saying, until I come, do not lose heart in prayer. Carry on praying. Things may get worse. Things may get harder. It may become more difficult to pray. Society will crowd out prayer. But do not lose heart in prayer, personally in your lives and corporately in the life of the church as a body. Look at chapter 18 and verse 8. It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And then he says at the end, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What is he saying here? He's saying, when I come again, remember the context is the second coming. When I come again, he's saying, believers may grow cold and turn away from prayer, and their faith will become weak. So when he comes, will he really find faith on the earth? It's a question. But his instructions are here to us is to persevere in prayer. Don't give up. Do not lose heart. Never think that God does not hear. Whatever you go through, whatever the state of the world and society, even if it's an anti-God society, an anti-prayer society, even if churches grow cold in prayer, continue to pray. Do not stop. Do not lose heart in prayer. Be encouraged to pray. So what I want to do for a number of Sunday evenings, is probably three Sundays in the evenings, is I want to look at the subject of prayer, to encourage us to pray if we've lost heart in prayer. Now, of course, when it comes to prayer, we know God hears prayer. But God only hears prayer if we come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, God can't hear prayer. Why, you say? Because we are sinners. And between us and God, there is this barrier. Think of it like a wall or a stone or a ceiling. So when you pray, it's like, metaphorically speaking, it's like your prayer bounces off the ceiling and it comes back down again. Why? Because there's this barrier of sin. And unless that sin is removed, we can't have access to God, and God won't acknowledge or hear our prayers. So therefore, we need Christ. Christ took our sins upon the cross. He has forgiven us if we trust him, if we believe. And then that barrier of sin is removed. Because Christ has taken our sin, he died for us on the cross, and then God hears our prayers. And we are to be encouraged to pray, and this is what this parable is about. So let's have a look at this. I've looked at this before in the past, but let's look at it again, because I think it's a wonderful parable. And there's many, many lessons we can draw out. Firstly, then, let's look at the two main characters in this parable. The two main characters. So listen carefully. This is like in a story format. There are two characters. Here you have a judge and you have a widow. A judge and a widow. Chapter 18 and verse 2 tells us, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. So here is this judge. He has no respect for God, and he doesn't really care less about people at all either. There's no interest in the two of God's greatest commands. That is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't care about God. And he doesn't care about people. Although he was a judge, he probably didn't really care. Well, he certainly didn't care about doing justice and carrying out righteousness And certainly he had no sympathy or compassion for people. This judge was a wicked, dishonest, corrupt, and unjust judge. What an awful person to have in such a prominent position. He had power. He had authority in his hands, and he abused it. If God puts us in a position of power and authority, maybe we're managers or directors of a company, we're in a position of influence, we are never, ever to abuse our authority. Ephesians 6 verse 9 says, masters or bosses, it says, treat your people who are under you without threatening, knowing that you have a master also in heaven. In other words, it's saying treat people fairly, justly, kindly, because you have a master as well, and that's God who watches over you. But this judge in the parable abused his authority and had no respect for God or man. And in verse 4, the judge himself, speaking of himself, acknowledges that he is unjust. Look at the end. Though I do not fear God nor regard man. He's talking about himself. He knows his own state. He knows that he's an unjust and a wicked judge. So firstly, we have this judge. Secondly, in the same city, verse 3 tells us, there was also a widow. Now, in Israel, under the Old Testament, there was a command to help widows. But sadly, widows were mistreated. Verse 3 tells us that someone had wronged this widow. Maybe they had unjustly taken away her land or property. It doesn't really say. We don't really know what Jesus had in mind here or what the problem was. But she had been treated unjustly. But this widow had been mistreated, and she rightly went to the wicked judge. She went looking for justice. Now, everything is against this widow. Everything is against her. Firstly, she was a woman. Women in society in those days were looked down upon, and even in the law courts in those days, that was really a place where men went, not women. So this was against her. She was a woman. Secondly, she was a widow. She had no husband to fight her case. From what we could see from the context, it seems she had no son, or elderly son at least. There was no brother, it seems, no brother-in-law, no father, no cousin, no nephew, no man who would go to court and fight her case. She was completely alone. Another thing that was against her was the fact that she was poor. Maybe the judge would have dealt with her case if this widow gave him a bribe. He was a corrupt judge, and maybe he would have dealt with her case. But she couldn't even do that. She couldn't give a bribe. She had absolutely nothing going for her that would persuade the judge to do justice on his behalf. She was completely powerless. She was just an insignificant widow. I could just imagine this rude, cruel, wicked judge seeing her in the queue, in the court, and flatly refusing to deal with her. And probably every time he saw her, he probably said to her, "Go home. Next case." What could this widow do? Absolutely nothing to convince the judge to deal with her case. Except one thing. That is, she could persist. Keep going to the judge again and again and again and again and again and again. So she came day after day after day after day at the appointed time. And she kept on saying to the judge, "Judge, avenge me. Judge, avenge me." Verse 3 tells us that. Get me justice. Deal with my case. Deal with my enemy. But still the judge didn't do anything. For a while, it says in verse 4, he did nothing. But she persisted. She continued. Because she knew she was right. And then after a while, the judge thought to himself in verse 4 and 5. It says, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." The unjust judge grew sick and tired of this widow, of seeing her there in the court every single day or whenever the appointed hour was when the judge sat. And then in the end, he got so fed up, he said, "Okay, I will deal with her case. If I don't, this woman's going to drive me absolutely mad. She'll weary me." Can you see? It wasn't money, was it? It wasn't money. It wasn't the woman's status that persuaded the judge. It was nothing but sheer persistence. The fact that she came again and again and again. And then Jesus said in verse 6, then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said." Now Jesus has told a story and he's saying to the crowd, "Hear what the unjust judge said." Jesus wants his hearers to pay close attention to the words of the judge. And when that is, the judge said, "I will avenge, I will vindicate, I'll carry out justice for this widow. Otherwise she'll wear me out with a continual coming." And then Jesus gives the lesson to encourage prayer from the story. And the lesson is in verse 7 and 8. He says this, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Will he really find faith on the earth? Now, when we read this, often people misunderstand what this is saying. And people misunderstand the parable. People start thinking then, well, is Jesus saying this? Is God like the unjust judge? And what we need to do is come to God again and again and again and again and again and again in prayer, just like the widow, so that we wear God out and get him tired. And then just like the judge, he'll eventually get tired of us and then he'll answer our prayers. Is that what Jesus is saying here? Is that the lesson? This is not what Jesus is saying. Actually, Jesus is saying exactly the opposite. The lesson here is this. If a cruel and a wicked and a corrupt judge will listen to an insignificant widow, how much more Will God listen to his people who cry out to him day and night? Jesus is saying that God is exactly the opposite of the judge. God doesn't get tired of us. We don't wear God down through our prayers. God delights in the prayers of his people. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to pray. So what Jesus is saying is, look, if an unjust judge who's wicked listens to the persistence of a widow, how much more will a good God listen and answer the prayers of his people? God is not like the unjust judge. He's not wicked, he's not cruel, he's not vindictive. We don't wear him down until eventually he gets tired of us and he answers our prayers. That's not the picture here. Jesus is saying God is a kind God. He's a gracious God. He loves his people. And he wants to hear their prayers. That's why we must persist in praying and not lose heart. Because if an unjust judge listens to the cry of a widow, how much more? That's the lesson. How much more will a just God listen to the prayers of his people? So that's the lesson of the parable. But secondly, what I want you to notice here is, very briefly, the difference between God and the judge. The difference between God and the judge. And I think we need to think about this. We need to learn from this so that we do not lose heart in prayer. Okay, what are the differences? Firstly, there is no relationship between the judge and the widow. No relationship. Socially, there's no relationship. Religiously, there's no relationship. He did not fear God. He did not respect man. The judge just wants to get rid of this woman and deal with her case. And therefore he answers a request. He wants to be free from her. He doesn't want her to nag her anymore. But if we are Christians, in verse 7 it says, we are God's elect, and shall not God avenge his own elect? We are chosen by God. We have a relationship with God. We are his chosen people. He has loved us from eternity. He has loved us with an everlasting love. Before the foundation of the world. And look, listen, if an unjust judge hears the request of a widow, will not a good God, a just God, hear the cries of his elect? His chosen? He will. The judge acts selfishly because he was tired of the widow. God acts out of love on behalf of his elect. The widow was a stranger to the judge. But Peter says, we are God's own people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own people, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. If we're Christians, God is our Father. We are his children. And Jesus says, if a son asks his father for bread, will the father give him a stone? Or if the son asks for fish, will the father give him a snake or a serpent? And he says, look, if you human fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more a heavenly Father will listen to our prayers and answer the prayers of his elect. God is not like the judge. He was harsh, he was cruel. God, the God we worship, is a caring and a loving Father. So firstly, we have a relationship with God, unlike the unjust judge. Secondly, notice the widow came to the judge, and there's a distance between the judge and the widow. There's distance, isn't there? We as believers do not come to a cruel judge, but we come to a heavenly Father. And brother, sister, we can come to God with boldness. Isn't that amazing? We can come with boldness. How? Through the blood of Christ. We can enter into his presence. There's intimacy. We can cry out, Abba, Father. There's no distance between us and God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been brought near. We have peace with God if we're in Christ. And we could know his help in times of need. Thirdly, the widow went to the judge at an appointed time, whenever that was, maybe every day at a certain time or certain times in the week, we don't know. What's the difference between us and God? We, if we're in Christ, don't have to have set periods of prayer. We can go to God anytime, all the time. Day or night. We don't have to make appointments. God is our Father. We can go to their Father anytime. Fourthly, the widow was poor. She had no one to fight her case, no relative. She certainly couldn't afford a lawyer. When we go to God in prayer, we don't go alone. We have a lawyer, an advocate, Jesus Christ, who stands before God and makes intercession for us and pleads our case. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. So that when we sin and confess our sin, Christ pleads on our behalf and God forgives us. Not because of our own righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness, because he died for us. We're never alone like the widow. We have someone who pleads on our behalf. Fifthly, the widow made the judge angry, wore him down, and then he dealt with her case. When we go to God in prayer, do you think he gets tired of us? No, God delights in us coming to him. He rejoices when we persist. By persisting in prayer, it builds up our relationship with God. So there's close fellowship and we have a deeper relationship with him. That's why Satan doesn't like prayer. Can you see the difference? The Christian has every reason to pray, because we, unlike the unjust judge and the widow, unlike their relationship, our relationship with God is very different. We are God's elect, chosen people. We have been brought near. We can come anytime. We have a lawyer. We have an advocate. And God delights in the prayers of his people. God, brother, sister, will hear the prayers of his people and answer in his time and according to his plans and will. Verse 8 tells us that he will answer speedily when the right time comes. God does answer prayer, and of course we know when Jesus comes again, justice will be done speedily. But people say, look, I've been praying and praying, but God hasn't answered my prayers. If God delays answering your prayers, it's not because God doesn't listen. He does listen if you're in Christ. If he delays, it could be that he wants us to wait because he wants to teach us patience. Or he could be strengthening our faith, testing our faith. Other times his answer is no, but we don't accept it. And other times he delays answering prayers for reasons that we don't know. But we are just called to trust him. But Jesus is saying, and we must simply trust what this parable is saying. Jesus is saying, persist in prayer. Never give up on prayer. Jesus said, men always ought to pray and not lose heart in prayer. Because look, if an unjust, wicked judge hears the prayers of a persistent widow, how much more will a just and a loving God hear the prayers of his elect people? Amen.